Today on Renewing Your Mind.
If all you have is a profession of faith and you have no fruit in your life, all that qualifies you to be is a goat in the church. A bad tree that brings forth only bad fruit.
A call for self-examination next on Renewing Your Mind. Hello and welcome to Renewing Your Mind. I'm Lee Webb. And when my wife and I moved back to Florida a couple of years ago, I was intent on growing an orange tree. I could envision that tree filled with wonderful, sweet fruit that we would enjoy during the winter months. Well, I did plant that tree, but I'm afraid to tell you that there's not much chance that that tree is going to bear fruit. But what I can tell you is that the whole process has given me a greater appreciation for Jesus' use of metaphors, particularly the agricultural metaphor that we find in Luke chapter 6. Today on Renewing Your Mind, Dr. R.C. Sproul addresses the place of good works in the life of a believer. It is a confrontational message that really gets to the heart of this famous passage found in Luke chapter 6. R.C. has titled this message, Good and Bad Fruit.
I've mentioned before one of the favorite sayings of the late Jim Kennedy, where Jim used to say, there are three kinds of people in the world, those that can count and those that can't. We also know that in the canons of the discipline of logic, there are many types of fallacies, both formal and informal. And one of the most common informal fallacies of logic is that fallacy called the either-or fallacy, or the fallacy of the false dilemma. That fallacy is committed when we try to reduce options to two and say it has to be either this or that, when in fact it could be a third option, or there may even be more options to consider. So we can err in our thinking by reducing things to one of two options when there are more. However, there are other situations and other matters where it really does come down to one of two alternatives. You're either alive or you're dead. There's no tertium quid involved with that. But what we're concerned with this morning is that example where Jesus reduces things to two when he talks about good trees and bad trees. And throughout the scriptures, and particularly in the New Testament, we hear such distinctions between one of two things. For example, in the church, we find both sheep and goats, which is to say, we find people who are truly saved and those who are not. The sheep and the goats define those who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit and those who are not regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Because you can't be somewhere in the middle between regenerated or unregenerated. You're either born of the Holy Spirit or you're still in the flesh. There is no middle ground. And of course, it's of eternal importance and significance for everyone who is in the church to come to a clear understanding as to what their status is. So I want you to consider with me this morning your standing in the kingdom of God. Are you a sheep who belongs to the sheepfold of the good shepherd? Or are you a false professor who is still numbered among the goats, even though you appear regularly in the household of faith every Sunday morning? Are you truly a regenerate person? Are you in a state of grace, or are you faking it? Again, I've said so many times, you're probably sick and tired of hearing it, is that even though every Christian who comes to faith is required of God to make a profession of that faith, the profession of faith redeems no one. We must not only profess our faith, but we must possess that which we profess. And Jesus warns again and again about those who are quick to confess him with their lips, while at the same time, their hearts are far from him. So it can boil down to this morning. Are you a Christian, or are you not? Are you in a state of justification, or are you not? Now, Jesus set before us the following options about these matters. He says, a good tree does not bear bad fruit. Or this can also be translated, a rotten tree does not produce good fruit. That is to say, if the tree is rotten to the core, that which will come from that tree will be rotten as well. Nor does a bad tree produce good fruit. So what Jesus is saying is, every good tree produces good fruit, and every bad tree produces only bad fruit. And so what he's getting at is this point that he's using to as an exclamation point for his sermon. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Now, the only righteousness by which I will ever be determined to be righteous in the sight of God, said Luther, was a righteousness that is extra nos, apart from us, aside from us, an alien righteousness, a righteousness that doesn't properly belong to me. I haven't performed it. I haven't achieved it. It's somebody else's righteousness, the righteousness of our Savior. So that the minute I put my trust in him, he covers my filthy rags with his righteousness, and God pronounces me just in his sight. I come with nothing in my hand, no good deeds, no list of achievements. I can't go to the gate of heaven and say, I never missed church on Sunday morning. I was a deacon. I was an elder. I was a pastor. No, the only thing that'll get us into the presence of God is the righteousness of Christ and his righteousness alone. So then the question in the 16th century and the question that persists today, well, then what about works? Doesn't Jesus call us to do good works? Isn't our Lord profoundly concerned about the fruit that we produce? If we're regenerate people, if we're justified people, will we not manifest that by the fruit that we bear? 20 years ago or so, a major controversy broke out within the evangelical world that was called the Lordship Salvation Controversy. There were those in one camp who said that you can be saved if you put your trust in Jesus as Savior, if you embrace the Lord Jesus as Savior, and don't receive him as your Lord, you can still be saved. That is, since justification is by faith and by faith alone, you can have a faith that is alone. You can have a faith that never brings forth fruit, a faith that never produces good works, and still be justified. Part of that was a result of the very wide dissemination of a distorted view of salvation that was associated with the concept of the carnal Christian. Maybe you've heard of that. The idea is that in our fallen condition, we are altogether carnal. We have no spiritual fruit whatsoever. And then the carnal Christian idea was that when we receive Jesus as Savior, Christ comes into our lives, although he's not necessarily on the throne of our life, and we can still be, even though we're saved, altogether carnal, showing no fruit, no works whatsoever. Some people in that camp said, well, if the Holy Spirit has really come into your life, if you really are justified, sooner or later, you may show some fruit of that. In some cases, sooner. In other cases, later. Whereas others argued and said, no, it may never appear in your life, and you're still in a state of salvation, even though you're carnal, because justification is by faith, and by faith alone, without any reference to works. That's not the biblical doctrine, certainly not Luther's doctrine or the Reformation doctrine. I remind you that Luther said justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. That is, the only kind of faith that saves you is a legitimate faith, a living faith, not a mere dead profession of faith. And so if you have faith, even though the works that you produce out of that faith don't count a fig towards your justification, nevertheless, they are necessary manifestations of that true faith, or you don't have saving faith. That is to say, if you don't have works, it means you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you don't have justification, merely a profession of it. So that if all you have is a profession of faith and you have no fruit in your life, all that qualifies you to be is a goat in the church, a bad tree that brings forth only bad fruit. So what we're saying is this: how do you know whether you're a sheep or a goat? How do you know if you're saved or unsaved, if you're regenerate or unregenerate? Well, our Lord told us the answer to that question. You shall know them by their words. It's not what he said. You shall know them by their fruit. This idea goes way back to the Old Testament, to the very beginning of the book of Psalms. I remind you of what David wrote in the very first psalm. Let's hear it again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he meditate day and night. I could change a couple of the words in that, and without changing any, blessed is the man who delights in the Word of God, meditates in it day and night. If you have no affection, if you have no love for the Word of God, that would be a sure indicator that your soul has not been changed. You are still in your sins. You are still altogether carnal with no spiritual life in you. But the godly man delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night. Well, what will he be like? The psalmist said, he'll be like a tree. What kind of a tree? A rotten tree? A diseased tree that brings forth diseased fruit? Not at all. He'll be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. He'll be a fruit-bearing tree whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Then David goes on to say, but the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not like that. They're not like the tree that brings forth its fruit in its season. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The slightest zephyr, the smallest breeze is enough to carry away all that they have because it lacks spiritual substance. Well, Jesus goes on with this metaphor here in chapter 6. Tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. If you want to go gather figs, you go to a fig tree. You don't go to a thorn bush. Why? How difficult is this to understand? Because thorn bushes don't produce figs. If you want figs, you go to a fig tree. And you know, not all fig trees are good fig trees. We know of the account where Jesus himself cursed a fig tree, pronounced a divine malediction upon a tree. And the Bible tells us that when he did it, it wasn't even the season for figs. So if there's ever an event in the Bible where it seems that we see an arbitrary judgment of God in Christ, it was when Jesus cursed this fig tree. It's like Jesus was hungry and he saw a fig tree that was in bloom and leaf, and he walked over to it and there wasn't any figs there. And so he's so frustrated, he was looking forward to that tasty morsel on the tree and there weren't any figs. And so out of his frustration, he uses his supernatural power to curse this poor innocent tree that then shrivels up and dies at his command. You know, when I was in seminary, I had the opportunity to study under an archaeological scholar who was an expert on the customs of Palestine. He explained this text to us. He says, in Palestine, there many, many varieties of figs. And the vast majority of those fig trees that grow in Palestine bring their fruit in a particular season. There is such a thing as fig season. But not all fig trees bear figs in the fig season. There are those few rare varieties of fig trees that bear their figs outside of fig season. And when they do, they're regarded as a delicacy. And on this one occasion, Jesus saw a fig tree from a distance, and it was in leaf. And the sure sign in Palestine of the presence of figs is the presence of leaves. If the fig tree has leaves, then it will also have figs. So our Lord said, here's one of these fig trees with this unusual variety of figs. And he walked over and there were leaves, but no figs. The tree was a hypocrite. The tree gave the outward signs of fruit, but no fruit. And Jesus used that as a prophetic object lesson to describe not fig trees, but people who give the appearance of fruit, but have no fruit. And we're called to be fruit-bearing trees in season and out of season. Nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Again, if you want to plant a vineyard and raise a choice crop of grapes, you don't start with bramble bushes. You need vines that will produce grapes. And so Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. It's interesting that the Greek word here for treasure is the word thesaro, from which we get the English word thesaurus. If you've ever had to do any writing, you know that you not only have to have a dictionary on your desk, but you need a thesaurus. Or otherwise, you're left with a poverty-stricken vocabulary. A thesaurus is a collection of the treasury that is ours in human language. And Jesus uses this same term of a treasure, a storehouse. And that in everybody's heart, there's a thesaurus. Maybe not on everybody's desk, but there is in everybody's heart. And that thesaurus is either a storehouse or a treasury of goodness, or it is a storehouse of corruption. And the Old Testament tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus is telling us what a man treasures in his heart determines what he is. And so I close this morning by asking you to examine your own hearts, to look at the bank account that is hidden from eyesight, to examine the own thesaurus that you have in your soul, and ask what kind of vocabulary is in it. Is it the vocabulary that demonstrates and manifests the fruit of true faith? Or is it the vocabulary of the lie and the false profession? I can read your faces, but I can't read your heart. Only God can read our hearts. And only God knows what's in that storehouse, what's in that thesaurus in our souls. But we can see fruit.
Dr. Sproul has been preaching through the Gospel of Luke for several months now at St. Andrew's Chapel. And if you've missed any of his previous sermons from Luke, you can stream them online just by going to renewingyourmind.org. Today, Dr. Sproul exhorted us to examine our hearts. This is a serious admonition for every Christian. We here at Ligonier aim to bridge the gap between Sunday school and seminary so that you can know yourself and you can know God better. We want you to be nourished constantly in the faith and in the sound doctrine of God's Word. One of the ways we do that is through our monthly discipleship magazine, Table Talk. Table Talk challenges and encourages readers to dig deeper into God's Word. Each issue contains thought-provoking articles on a wide range of topics related to theology and Christian living. Contributors to Table Talk include men such as Sinclair Ferguson, John MacArthur, Tim Challies, and of course, Dr. R.C. Sproul. So make Table Talk a part of your daily study. We invite you to call us for a free, no-risk trial subscription to Table Talk. Our toll-free number is 800-435-4343. You can also go to renewingyourmind.org/tabletalk. Let me repeat that. It's renewingyourmind.org/tabletalk. And our toll-free number again is 800-435-4343. Well, next weekend on Renewing Your Mind, Dr. Sproul explores another of the metaphors that Jesus used, the construction metaphor, and he urges us to consider the foundation on which we build.
What am I building on? Am I building a house of cards? Or am I building a life rooted and grounded in Christ?
Join us next weekend for Renewing Your Mind with R.C. Sproul.